Hi, everybody, it's Michelle, and this is December the 14th, 2019. And this is our fourth call in the Having a Big Why series. We're going to begin, as always, in Shavasana. So find a comfortable place to lie down where you won't be disturbed. Have the supports beside you that you need. Support for your head and neck. Support for your, maybe a bolster beneath the thighs, or you could have the calves up on a couch or a chair if you need support for the low back. Be comfortable. You can take, once you're lying on your back, you can take the back of the head with the fingers and just lift and extend the back of the neck. Lift and extend the back of the neck so that the neck is long and the chin just goes a little bit lower so that the chin is, there's not a constriction of the throat, but you have the chin just a little closer to the ground. So the chin is lower than the forehead, and adjust the support beneath the head so that the support touches the shoulders but doesn't go beneath, and so that your you have that lower chin, lower than the forehead, which allows the mind to become quiet. Then bend the knees, extend the flesh of the buttocks toward the heels. And today you can try sliding both your heels out at the same time. If this is comfortable for you, slide them along the floor and then release the legs to the earth. So let the thighs roll out. And then take the elbows and press them into the floor to lift and open the heart center. Notice when you do that, if you've really lifted the heart center, sometimes the head support needs adjusting. So watch for these little micro adjustments in Shavasana. The more aligned you are, the more deeply you go into Shavasana and the more quickly you find that quiet place. So pay attention to the little details. Then release the arms to the floor. Arms in a low V, palms up position, about 30 degrees away from the body. Softly close the eyes and let the whole body release to the earth. Just let go. Anything that you've been holding on to from your day, anything from past or future, it doesn't matter right now. This is a training about being right here, right now. It's the only time our lives ever happen, here, now. So let go of whatever thought was pulling you away, whatever else is happening in your day. Be present. We hold on to our day and memories, thoughts, worries, right in our bodies. So scan the body for any tension. It's where you're holding on to something. Then use the breath, breathe into that spot, and just let that go. Not needed right now, just let it go. And relax all the parts of the body, beginning from the feet, all the way through the legs, the torso, the head. Go through in your own quiet time. And you can just use the simple words, feet, relax. Calves, relax. You go through the body in your own time. Moving always from the grounding, from the feet, up through the torso to the head. And as you say the words, let the action follow. Let your body follow your words. Letting go as you say the words. In your own time. Any thoughts? Am I doing this right? Should I go faster? Should I go slower? Which body parts? All that's just the editor. All that's just story. All that's unneeded. It's perfect, exactly right for you. Each body part, let it go. Another four or five breaths, and you can allow yourself to release with the rhythm of the breath. As you exhale, let that part go. And relax the tiny muscles of the face, cheeks, jaw, lips touching, not touching, teeth slightly parted, tongue relaxed. Watch the breath. What does the breath have to teach you today? Not thinking about it, just pure awareness. Be the breath. Feel the silence. Take this time for you. And then allow the breath to deepen. Place the hands on the torso. Feel the gentle movement of breath. Draw the knees to the chest. Give yourself a big hug. And roll onto the right side, support your head. Take your time. Softly, softly open the eyes. And keeping your gaze toward the floor, slowly press yourself up to sitting. And join our virtual circle. Always camera on whenever you can. Training that one pointed focus, which is an absolute foundational, crucial skill for entrepreneurs. One mind, one focus, one thing at a time. We build our businesses piece by piece by paying attention to each thing in particular with loving awareness and a complete attention. Hi, Grace. You're still on my kitchen counter. Oh, hi, Teresa. Great to see you, Lindsay, Carly. Dottie was already on visual. Wendy, I see you. Don't see you, but I see you. So great to see you all here. What did you love in this practice of Shavasana? What we focus on expands. It's an accumulation of noticing. I love this, and I love this, I love this, and I love this, and I love this. Look out into the world, I just love that, whatever it is. And from that place, I can move so much better to where I want to go. So what did you love? Who would like to go first? Yeah, Lindsay. I thought it was going to be you. I was just feeling that Lindsay energy.
But I always try to give, I feel like I talk a lot. So I try to give everyone the opportunity. I'm like, if no one's going, I'm going.
Good attitude.
For me,
here I go.
Today it was extra nice. I just got back from a chiropractic appointment because I'm having some issues with my hamstring. And so to like just let it go and kind of breathe into that, remind myself to breathe into where that pain is, actually made a big difference. And then you forget to do that in regular day when it starts to hurt. So for me, that was just an extra reminder to take care of that pain spot.
So good. So good. Actually pausing to take time. These things, well, we know it, but if it's just stays in our heads, it doesn't move anything. And just by the by, well, about hamstring, I was teaching a class many years ago, and there's so much of richness in Iyengar yoga, and we do one piece of it here, get that foundation. But I was teaching a class many years ago, and there's one of my favorite poses that really opens up the hamstrings and does a whole bunch of other stuff as well. And a student came back the next time and said, I've been working with a physio for ages, and we got to the next session. Everything had totally changed. Whatever you're doing, do that. And that's what we did in class. So you can ask me about that another time. There's just magic in this practice of actually paying attention to all the parts of our body. And it starts with Shavasana. It starts with finding the breath. So thank you, Lindsay. Love that. Dottie, you're up. Yeah, it was quick. You were ready. What did you love here?
I can't say I love the practice yet. I love the fact that I believe you, and I know that it's going to be very helpful to my body, my mind, and my business.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. I love that. And you know, here's the thing. Sometimes we go for these grand things, like I need to love the whole practice. Yeah. Do I always love the practice? No. I mean, I'll be really honest with you. No. I was attending a yoga class with one of my dear friends. We did two of our assessments together, and she owns the only purely Iyengar studio in my city. And I hadn't attended a class in a while. I do my practice every day, most every day, myself, my own teacher. But I attended her class. I hadn't been to an Iyengar class in a while. And the first 20 minutes, I was like, I'm done. I don't want to do Iyengar yoga anymore. I'm out of here. The mind says these things. It doesn't matter. It's all okay. By the end of class, I was like, oh my goodness, I want to come to her class every day. I love what I do at home. And right, the mind is this thing that goes like this. And sometimes we want these grand things. And so I love that comment, Dottie, because thank you for your trust. And also, we don't have to love all of it, but there might be one thing. Maybe there is just one breath. And I know Mr. Iyengar used to say he'd do a whole practice, and if he could get a couple of real breaths in a whole practice of breathwork, pranayama, that was great. And he was a master and practiced for over 70 years and very diligently. And for a long time, he practiced 10 hours a day. And he'd say, I just want a couple of breaths, you know? So what is the one piece that I loved? What's the one piece that I love? So thank you, Dottie, for allowing me to underline that. And thank you for your satya, truthfulness in the yoga tradition. You know, speaking the truth, they say, the truth shall set you free. Right. And I don't love all the practice, but I believe you. And here's one thing that I loved. There's just one thing. All right. Anything else wanting to be said before we go on? Okay. So, and Dottie, I'm just going to always remember to mute your lines. I just muted your line again, just so we've got that nice clear recording. A couple of announcements. Just a reminder that I know that December is a very full month, and then we have lots of calls in December as well. So if you're here live on the call, thank you for carving that time out. If you're not here, a number of you let me know you couldn't be here live. Hi, great to see you in the recording. There'll be some time, you know, later in the month to catch up with, you know, after the hustle bustle of the holidays and so on, to catch up on those calls that you missed. So whichever way that you're arriving here, welcome. Great to see you. Remember, just two more live calls in December and leaving a bit of space for the holidays. And so please make sure to post your questions, and we're going to do a piece around that in just a little bit. So post your questions. Let me help you. Let me serve you in the best way possible. And on Tuesday's call, we saw, it was amazing, and with all the ahas, just like Sherry's question, that's what opened so much for me. That was so cool, right? People didn't say it like that, but that's true. It's like choosing that word, and I did a deep dive into that, choosing your word for your year. So post your questions. It benefits everybody, and it helps you take the next step for you. It's cumulative. So two more calls. Make sure you're out there on your calendar. The high ticket virtual retreat. Hi, Wendy. Great to see you. So great to see you. The high ticket virtual retreat, it's on January 16th. Make sure you've got that day carved out. More details to follow in the new year, but make sure that's carved out for you. Make sure you have the most updated version of the calendar. It says October on it. And get all those big rocks on the calendar right away. And the Mexico dates, I think it's 9th to the 16th of May. Again, it's on our calendar. So make sure you've got those carved out, and the Story Freedom dates as well. And more info coming up both about Mexico and the high ticket virtual retreat in January. So stay tuned, but make sure you've got those dates carved out. What's your word for 2020? I would love to hear at least one of you. I mentioned on and did a deep dive. My word for 2020 is alignment. And it took me some meditating to come up with that. I think I had a different word for a little bit. Didn't feel right. And now I'm aligned with the word aligned. And again, I said a lot about my word on Tuesday. What's your word? How many of you have a word for the year? Raise your hand. Fantastic. How many of you don't have your word yet? Be proud. You still got a couple of weeks. That's great. In past years, people were setting their words, you know, in January. Forget to tell people till January. You still got weeks. You know, you're still good. So I'd love to hear one or two of your words for the year. Who would like to share? Just one word. What's your word? And one why? Why you chose that word? We'll inspire the others who haven't chosen their word yet. Yeah, Lindsay, go ahead. And then Teresa, was that just a, that was not, that wasn't a hand up. Lindsay, go ahead.
I chose the word experiences because last year and really part of the year before, I feel like I went through so many life-changing experiences just to find me again. And it was so beneficial to me that I want to actually focus on doing that, not only for me, but even for my children. So it's kind of starting a little early, even Christmas gifts this year are experiences for my kids over material items that are just going to clutter my house. So we're giving experiences, and that's our plan for the whole year.
I love that. It changes what we do. Here's a really great example. Already a whole different family holiday. And what we do in our private life is connected to our business, is connected to the world. It's all connected. So this single word has a profound effect. It's a great example. Thank you. Love it. Let's hear one more word. It's yours. It's yours to choose. What do you want? It's a good practice too for deciding what you want. And then allowing that to manifest. Yeah, Jasmine.
So my word of the year is quantum leaps. And I really went back and forth on this and thinking about quantum in a really science way too, made me really fall in love with this idea of You know, we know kind of a lot about like quantum mechanics and quantum physics, but we don't know absolutely everything. And that's kind of the way that I'm jumping into this year, is not knowing exactly everything, but having planned out, my quarterly initiatives, having planned out, you know, I have my virtual summit going on and I have a plan to do a giveaway in the summer. And then I have like a long-term project for the year. And I don't really know how any of that is going to turn out, but all of it is going to move my company leaps and bounds into the future and in forward progress, even if any of those initiatives are utter failures, because I'll have learned so much just by going through the experience. Just like I have this year, the tail end, as I've, you know, really come away from behind my camera, which is the very first thing that you said on our strategy session was that I needed to do. And it's been amazing what's been happening since I've been like, you know, showing myself, showing up and like getting out there into the world.
Love it, Jasmine. Love it. And can you hear the quantum leap energy, even in the way she's speaking about it, even the way she's envisioning her year? It provides focus and everything changes. Our actions change, what comes in front of us, what we are even able to see of opportunities, of beauty, of joy, of what's possible. Fantastic. Thank you. I love those words. Each one uniquely for each person. It's yours. It's yours to choose. So I would love if one of you, I'm not always in the Facebook forum, and then I catch up and I see things and I post things and I'm excited to, I go back and read all that stuff, right? So I haven't been in there in a little while, but I'll get in there, I hope, soon. And always, if you want me to see it, tag me and then text me. So let me know there's something that you explicitly want me to see. That space is for you and the community to lean in, to get support, to ask questions, to offer suggestions, to share your ideas, to take things further forward. But I would love if one of you would post about the words. Is there a thread in there yet? Again, I haven't been there in a little while. There's a thread. Okay, great. So keep remembering to post. And if you've already posted your word, you can still add to that thread as well. Post another why about why you're choosing that word and what's already manifesting. Like those examples about all the leaps that you're taking, Jasmine, and all the and the profound material change about your holiday. And therefore, the relationship in your family, Lindsay, from that word, go ahead and keep that thread going. My aim is for every single person before 2020 comes about, has that word. And think of 2020, the word itself. Somebody was telling me the other day, 2020, that's like 2020 vision. It's a really magical year, right? What word do you want to, you know, use as a lens for you to see in that magical year of 2020, right? Okay. I would love to hear just a couple of wins and just the one sentence win. So you're going to have to really focus, think of, and don't think about deadwood, actually, those extra words that don't add. Just what do I really want to say? Here's the win. Let it land. Let's practice that this time around. One sentence. Can you encapsulate something that you've loved, something that's happened for you this week, something, and it could be, wow, I had one good breath in Shavasana. Sometimes we look for these, and sometimes these things are like this, is the big things, but our life, the quantum leaps really come from those, all those tiny shifts that make massive change. So who would like to share a win? One sentence, good practice. Grace and then Teresa. I saw both your hands simultaneously. Grace, you just happen to be on my left, so, and then Teresa next. Grace, go ahead.
So yesterday I sent an email to an executive who has grown her company from 6 to 40 people and will be doubling it this year. We've been in conversation and I sent a proposal for work.
Yay. Oh my goodness. I love it. And the way it's just matter of fact, the way you said it so matter of factly, I'm just putting this in. Like it was just beautiful. This is just my life. This is just what I'm doing. And she's doing that. She's doing wonderful things. And I'm putting the proposal in. I'm ready. I'm good to go. I love it. What you said and how you said it. Beautifully, beautifully put. Teresa, what's the win that you'd like to share?
I have been working on being open to receive. I was open and I received without guilt a commission check.
Yes. So exciting. And again, both of you just said so matter-of-factly, this is what, I mean, the excitement I could hear too, and Teresa's like, right? But just, this is my life. This is how it goes. This is the world. Fantastic. Love it. So keep posting the wins in the Facebook forum. Keep reaching out in those connection calls. Just because I haven't said it recently doesn't mean that it stops. All those things I suggested for, well, I was in Thailand. Keep all those pieces going. And you're really going to want to, one of the things I mentioned was to do a talk. And you're going to want that before our next practical applications call. So book a date. If you haven't yet, go and speak to somebody. You still have time before Tuesday. You can gather a couple people in your living room. So I'm going to give you my talk. Here it is. If you decide to do that, it doesn't take that long. Call up a couple people. Spend an hour with them. You could do a talk between now and Tuesday, even if you have nothing at all built, right? Nothing done. And you'll come into that call super strong for the call, because we'll be speaking about speaking in the practical applications call. And then the strategy sessions, which I was suggesting, so you go have a conversation with somebody and that commission check, perhaps that came out of that. It's like, I had a conversation, I worked with somebody and here it came, right? Or I don't know how it came to you, but having that strategy session conversation is a great way, you know, to have a conversation with somebody who could jump into your work. And I don't usually think of it jumping into your work. It's like they get a chance to transform their lives and they're taking a leap. It just happens to be through the vehicle that we have for them. Right. And, so go have those conversations. That's another thing I strongly encourage you to do between now and, the following practical applications call and the high ticket virtual retreat. When you have done those things, what we're going to be doing, you will hear at so much of a deeper level and you'll have very on the core questions. Now, if you don't do that, come to the call. You'll be hearing some other people's on the core questions and you'll be getting ready for your on the court. So there's never a wrong time to be at the call, but I'm suggesting you can do those things more easily than you may be thinking right now. It's a conversation. It's a couple of people in your living room at that kind of basic level. Okay. If there's something inside you that says, but I don't have time because there's all these other things. Well, if we're not meeting people and having conversations with people that can enter into our work, we don't have a business. So whatever else is going on, that's not the foundation. That's the bedrock. So what would it take to make that happen? So there's my invitation to you and my challenge to you. Should you choose to accept it, you can accept, reject, or modify. Just like, well, I'm going to just do one strategy session or whatever it is. I'm going to do 10 of them this week, wherever you're at on your path. All right. I wanted to talk a little bit about where we've been in this series, because we met on Monday, unusually. I know some of you couldn't make it live because it was a Monday. Some of you may have caught up on the recording of the call. I was away another day with Sandra Yancey. There were only three of us who spent all that time in Thailand. And then that day with Sandra Yancey as well, there were eight of us all together. I learned a ton of amazing things. I was asking her about setting priorities. And if you want to ask me about it, I'm an open book. I'll tell you the amazing directions that I got from her. I won't go in there directly if you're not asking, but you can just say, what did Sandra say for you about priorities and what does that mean for me? Post it as a question. That'd be a great question, right? So so it's been a while since we met in this series. I just want to remind you where we've been. This is called the Having a Big Why series. The first call, the essence of the first call, if we're not having fun, we're not doing it right. It's like, what's our why? Our why has to, part of the why, the first step of the why. In fact, I love the teachings of Esther and Jerry Hicks. And that's their whole company, really. You know, it's like Jerry Hicks died a few years ago, but, you know, the Abraham Hicks materials. Fun is just completely at the foundation. And they've built a ton of stuff. Well, like everything is about the fun. We do one module on it. It's kind of like their whole teaching always, right? And I remember I showed you that. What does the fox say? I mean, a billion people have seen that. And I didn't show you, but you can go and look up a clip. I've showed it sometimes in prior years, an interview with those. If you just look up What Does the Fox Say and Ellen on YouTube, it's really interesting. It's worth the 3 minutes that it will take. Don't do it now, though. Don't do it now after this call, because they just did the thing as a lark. It was just kind of a game. It was just play, and a billion people have seen it. What do we, sometimes we think we've got to work so hard. So we mentioned the $5 bill game, I believe. I think I talked to you about the Q-tip game. So if it's not fun, why would others want to join you anyway? If it's not fun for you, how's it going to be for them? Right? Think of it like that. So that, you know, fun has to be a component of our why. And in the Abraham materials, it's the everything. Everything else is after that. That's why it comes first in our series. Call number two, I have never done before. We had some added training, this time for the very first time. It's my first time in Thailand. We had tips from Thailand and releasing nasty editors. We did a deep dive on a really great question from Jasmine. We got some editors. If you've got an editor that's bugging you, that's old stories that pull you in the other direction, you're going to want to go back to that call. Some amazing things that I brought home from Thailand, and many of you, your wins came, or your ahas came from that at the end. And, you know, when you take some time, carve out some time for yourself, you just grow bigger. It's not necessarily from the front of the room. And, you know, go early, stay late. We did just a number of tips from a life-changing experience. And I'm, every time I think of it, I'm so excited for Mexico for you that, it was a profound and life-changing experience. And then one of my resulting thoughts, too, was like, wow, and I know what happens in Mexico. And the investment to go with Sandra is about the investment for this at the goal level for this entire year, you know? And I'm like, there's going to be upper pressure on the prices here. I know what we do just in Mexico alone. So, you know, it's really wonderful when you go away and you can see what others are doing, and then gain what you want for your company as well, right? So that's a bit from call number two. Call number three, stop being perfect, start being passionate. And all I'm going to say is, if you want to get beyond that, it's got to be perfect, so I can't get it out there. So I haven't, if you haven't done your talk yet, for instance, suggested a month ago, I know you have very full lives, but there might be a strain of, I've got to get it right, and I don't know how to get it right, and I'm not quite ready yet. And if you're understanding what I'm saying with these words, raise your hand if you've ever done that. Even, well, yeah, thank you. Me too. My hand's up too. I've done that. Absolutely. I'm in the middle of doing that right now, actually, about something. So I've set up structures to make sure that I get that thing done. It's like, don't worry and just get it done. And, you know, I'm setting up structures, getting that on my calendar, so I'll just get it done. So stop being perfect, start being passionate. And all I'm going to say, if you haven't seen that call yet, you got to watch what happened with Grace. Because Grace, that was profound. If you weren't there, don't miss it. If you want to know what it is to stop being perfect, because we witnessed it right on the call. I love it when it's not head training, when it's happening on the call. Stop being perfect. Start being passionate. Go to that call to find out how that happens and how it's connected with our big why. All right. So one thing that this brief reminder of where we've been, again, we can't do the retraining, and also what we're doing is highly experiential. There's learnings happening at multiple levels when we're here. So that just kind of, that's like if you were at Story Freedom saying, at Story Freedom, we learned how to, you know, unlock some old stories and create one that benefits us. It doesn't tell you the experience of being there, right? So go back and reference those calls. But I want to hear one thing from one of you, just from that brief summary that's like, oh, right, that's what we're doing. Oh, right, that. Oh, I wasn't there for that one, but that's a good idea. That sparked something in me, just so that I know you heard and that we've gathered that energy from the other calls to take our next step from here. So we also did some work with Signs of Getting Rich, which we're going to go to again today. So one thing that you were reminded of, one thing, an aha that popped up in you, that's another thing that we train. I can have ahas all the time because I practice having them. Yeah, Carly.
Well, I'm just looking forward to kind of revisiting, putting together the speech and doing the speaker outline. I haven't looked at that for a little while, so.
Fantastic. Yes. And perfect timing for it when that's our call for practical applications on Tuesday. And really, truly, it is closer than you think. I've done it many times. I've trained it. I've watched other people assisted other people to do that. Both have people paying attention to what you're saying and having people come and invest in themselves through your work. That's the phrase that I usually like. Couldn't think of it earlier, right? Invest in themselves through your work. So yeah, perfect time. We're going to be talking about that. And you know, you can a free talk and it can be $2,000, $5,000, $10,000, $20,000, $50,000 and more that you can earn in your company by the work that you do through a very simply structured talk. So fantastic to go to that. And there's already been a couple of questions posted for that for next week's call. And go ahead and post your questions about it wherever you're at. I don't even know what it talks about and why I should be doing it. Ask that question. I speak in front of however many. Ask them. I want to fine tune this. Ask that question. All right. So thank you for that, Carly. Love it. Jasmine, go ahead.
Just for me to recap, I was planning on my first talk being a Facebook Live, and I had it on my schedule to do one for this week, and it is Thursday, and I have still not done it, even though it's planned out, and even though, ironically, I just got a testimonial with helping someone get over their fear of doing Facebook Lives about how amazing it was. And so that, you know, getting that testimonial was like, okay, it needs to happen this week, and then just hearing about what the last call that I couldn't make it was about, like the passionate, not perfectionism. That's exactly what I need to hear. And I just wrote it into my schedule for this afternoon to listen to it, to replan, and then to reach out to my, you know, close people to come and be on my Facebook Live and come support.
Beautiful, Jasmine. Yes. Did you hear all the pieces of that? I put it on my calendar. Oh, but then I missed it. Oh, but I'm gentle with myself and don't listen to what the editor is saying. And I have all the pieces to do it. And I know that the last call and having big wise ears will help me so I can go back there as a resource and I just get it on my calendar again. No judgment, right? All those pieces. Yes, beautiful. So thank you. Tells me you're really listening to this like rapid fire compared to the deep dive that we did on each of those calls, reminder of where we've been. So thank you for that. Thank you. Beautiful. Anything really bursting to be said without which we can't go forward? I always like to leave that space because otherwise somebody's energy is over here. It's like, oh, I really want to ask that, but, and there's no attention. And even one person pulling in that direction pulls us over there. So anything bursting to be said gives us a chance to take a breath too. If there's nothing bursting to be birthed in words, use that time to take a breath. Good. Notice the breath. We were focused on the breath in Shavasana. Have you been noticing your breath here? Sometimes we think if we pay attention to the breath, we won't hear what somebody's saying. It's the opposite. You can actually still pay attention to your breath. You'll hear everyone's words better. Just notice. That wasn't in my plate, but on my page. But there it is. Another bonus, a little training and life changing. If you actually just pick up that one thing from this call. All right. Science of Getting Rich. We are working through this always. So you can bring it next time too for our next Having a Big Why series. You can have it beside you. If you don't have it beside you, it doesn't matter. It's fine. You don't have to go and grab it. I've got my copy, and you've again. Let's show of hands now. How many of you have finished reading Science of Getting Rich now? I've read it multiple times. Quite a few of you. Fantastic. How many of you have read at least a piece of it? Hands high. Okay, awesome. How many of you didn't receive it and are still wondering what happened? Anybody? If anything like that, okay, good, nobody. If that ever happens, if something doesn't come through, please get in touch with Amy, get in touch with Emily, get in touch with me, make sure that we are you're receiving what you're supposed to be receiving to help you move forward. All right, Signs of Getting Rich. Last time, or was it last time? Yes, we talked about the questions at the back of Signs of Getting Rich. They're amazing. My copy didn't include this, and I got a copy like yours, so I'd have the same copy. I'm like, oh my goodness, these are fantastic, fantastic questions. So last time we talked about chapter one, and we just used these questions. And talked about why they were asking these questions. We're not going to repeat that. But what I want to say about chapter one is he starts out with a why about making money. Notice that. Why is everywhere. Because if there isn't a why about making money, you just go, only bad people make money. It's impossible to build your company. As far as I know, I don't know how to do that. Only evil people make money. I am not an evil person. My company is designed to make money, therefore I'll make sure to sabotage it. It's foundational for the building of our companies. It's a must do. It's foundational principle, right? And he does such a great job of understanding it. Not just, well, maybe it's okay if I make a little bit of money, but I'll just eke it out. That person is about to send me a lot of money for the work that I do because I'm training at this high level and I have to push them away and say no to them. And refuse them that service because I'm only going to allow myself this much. Our companies force us to increase our having level as well, force us to learn to receive, and then we model that for those around us, right? So that's in the energy of chapter one. Chapter two, and if you've got the book in front of you, you can follow along with me. If you don't, that's fine. There's a number of sentences, number of questions at the back, page 95, that say, prove that getting rich is not a matter of environment. Prove it's not a matter of superior talent, or the result of saving, or thrift, or doing things that are neglected or overlooked by others. Why does he have this list in chapter two of, well, it's not about that, not about that, not about that, not about that? If you can recall from the book, and all I want is for us to really understand the content of this book. We're doing something very straightforward, both an understanding and a reminder of the content so we can use it in our businesses and our lives. Why is he saying, well, it's not a result of superior talent. We don't need to be talented to get rich, and he's very in your face about it. Let's call it getting rich, right? Whatever, and if that presses your buttons, but you like, I don't mind abundance, or I don't mind wealth, or I don't mind, use the words that work for you, all right? Why would he be wanting you to prove that it's not this, not that, not that, not that? Can you remember? Yeah, Grace, go ahead.
He talks about our thought creates a substance of what we want. And so if you have that proper thought, the mindset, that sense of abundance, not competition, but the sense of abundance, that's where you bring to fruition what is it you desire.
Yes. So it's, yeah. And the words he uses is doing things in a certain way. And then he goes on to explain what that doing things in a certain way is. So there's a lot of clearing in chapter two. It's like, well, of that not enoughness. I'm not smart enough. I don't have the resources enough. I'm living in the wrong place. All these things that the editor says, he says, it's not that. Here's somebody who's smart. Here's somebody who doesn't seem so smart. Here's somebody who has resources, who doesn't have, who's living in this place, living in that. Two people who do, you know, almost, who have almost the same kinds of business structures. One's thriving, one's not. So what's it about? Is doing things in a certain way. Doing things in a certain way. And what I want to do, so you can go through, that piece is crucial from chapter two. I want to go to chapter four, because Grace is already starting to point this out. Let me see. And he just says, how does thought create the formless substance? And can you explain in your own words? Grace already talked about this, but I just want to elaborate on this, make sure everyone's heard it. How does thought create from the formless substance? What's he talking about there? Do you remember? Grace is right on it.
Not specifically, but if we could create and manifest what it is that we envision. And the connection I have is my husband grew up in India, absolutely poor, no running water. And his parents had a vision for their eight children, which is education is the way to elevate. And he focused on the goodness and education and what the potential and possibility was. And the entire family all have bachelor, master's, or PhDs, and they've done extremely well in their life. From not always having enough food to eat to they focused on the potential. So that's my analogy.
Thank you. Beautifully put. I have this vision and it's one pointed. Now, people often do that in a mechanical way and now they create a vision board, which sometimes works and sometimes backfires. You've heard me tell that story before. So it's, you can use that tool. It's not a wrong tool, but it's mistaking, in some spiritual traditions, they say like, there's the moon. Everybody's trying to get to the moon, but it's like mistaking the finger pointing to the moon for the moon. Do you get the idea? Everybody's looking at, well, that indicator that is those teachings is telling me about a finger. No, it's trying to say, go look at the moon, right? And in this case, it's that a vision board is trying to get there, but what it's trying to do is engender that one-pointed focus on that thing, nothing else. And I see it so clearly. And something that we're going to do, a very simple exercise that we're going to do next time is going to help us even make decisions in our companies, decide what we're meant to do and head in a direction that's going to create those quantum leaps. We're going to do that next time. And understanding this piece of the science of getting rich helps us to understand that. I've never put this in the Having a Big Why series, but I really like how this goes together. I hope you do too. If you're hearing even one piece of this is world changing for our companies. So, and at page 22 in this, it's the end of chapter four, is really an important piece of Think and Grow Rich. And it's in italics for good reason. He says, there's a thinking stuff. And he just says, listen, you don't read the book with and argue with the book, or don't read the book and look for proof. It's just like, try this on for size. Imagine this. He wouldn't say imagine this to be true. He's just saying, you know, like if somebody who's teaching on, you know, now we might say a professor of physics speaking about, or who would be speaking on gravity from one perspective, it might be a physicist or whatever, right? Yeah. Or Steve, you're related to your world, right? So somebody speaking in their field, and we just go, well, or a mathematician professing about mathematics, we would just trust them and believe them. He's saying, take this on trust if you actually want to use it. There's other books if you want to know the theoretical background, but just read this, take it on faith for now, and watch what happens in your life, all right? I think it's, and again, I've read it many, many times, and it's changed, my company changed my life, right? So on page 22, he says, there is a thinking stuff from which all things are made, and which in its original state permeates, penetrates, and fills the interspaces of the universe. A thought in that substance produces the thing that's imaged by the thought. A person can form things in his thought, and by impressing his thought upon formless substance, can cause the thing he thinks about to be created. Grace gave a perfect example. And often we think we're doing this, but our old stories pull in multiple different directions. Or sometimes it's just a subtle word that has clues that there's a very different root in us that's pulling, or these two little cells going in a very opposite direction. So we need that one-pointed focus. We need to know when we're being pulled in that opposite direction. And again, it's why we train with Shavasana over and over and over again. It trains that one-pointed focus. I don't know how to do this without, there's other techniques other than Shavasana. It's not the only kind of focus practice. It's the one that I do. And it's the one that I believe in and know in my bones. There's other routes to get there. But without something like that as a practice regularly in our lives, I don't know how to get to that focus that he's talking about that we need for this and every other aspect of our company. So that end of chapter 4, I just want to get to chapter 4 today, because that piece, when we understand what he's saying about that, it changes the way we think about, for me anyway, changes the way we think about our companies and what we do to create the results that we want. Why would it do that? Even if you haven't read any of The Science of Getting Rich, why would it do that for us? Why would it actually change the foundation of how we go about doing stuff in our companies? Think about that for a minute. Somebody, just a sentence or two, because I want to make sure that up to chapter 4 has landed for you and in ways that are very practical for our world. Why would this change things?
I mean, I just think that if we think we can't, then we kind of lead ourselves down a path where we can't do things. And if we think we can, it's just that simple. I can or I can't. And where do those two different thoughts lead you?
I love that. Yeah. Wasn't it Ford who said, if I say that I can or I say that I can't, either way, I'm right. Either way is true. And so, yes, behind that, there's a great confidence and a great knowingness that we can do. Absolutely. Absolutely love that, Wendy. Beautiful. Yes, yes, and yes. Other piece of it that I want to say, it was an accountability partner of mine that I was talking to just the other day, and who was saying, oh, she was speaking to an executive coach, does great work on the planet, and the phrase, and it's not the first time I've heard this phrase, but it was I was looking for that phrase on Tuesday, couldn't think of the words. Meaningful outcome. Sometimes we have goals and we have goals and tactics and we're just thinking small and tactically. We need that small tactics too. I'm not saying it's wrong, but if we're only thinking there, then we're moving from action to action to action. We end up kind of on a hamster wheel and we don't ever get to that thing that we want. So again, having a big why series, right? And so, and what he called it was, meaningful outcomes. This book, you could say, is about honing in on the exact meaningful outcome, like Grace's example of, you know, her husband's family in India with nothing. And what's the meaningful outcome that they had one pointed focus on, and then that thing comes about, and all the actions devolve. They come from that. They don't come from themselves in this small way. They come from seeing that All right. So whether we can or whether we think we can or we can't, then it's going to be true. And also, not just one of my mentors once said, not just efficient actions. I can efficiently answer all my email all day long, right? But I need effective actions instead. What's an effective action? Maybe I shouldn't be looking at my email at all. Maybe I need to be picking up the phone and calling that one person. So having that thing that I'm focused on, and our having a big Y series teaches about that, is that, you know, in story, it's desire. It's that object of desire. It's that thing. It's right at the heart of story. It's that thing that we want that, you know, pulls us along in our story. Steve, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just reminded of an article I saw on, I forget where it was. I was on the internet somewhere I think it was a Forbes article actually, where the person said basically a distraction is not all of these devices that distract us, but we're distracted whenever we're not working on the most important thing. We're not working on the right thing. And that we most of the time distract ourselves by, as you mentioned, the efficient action. Maybe I shouldn't even be looking at my email. I'm distracting myself from the thing that I actually should be doing.
Yes. And this is what tells us what that is, right? Or it reminds us to find that focus, right?
Yeah. So I have a real problem with this book.
Yeah, and that's fine too. No worries. But at this time, for now, I want you to suspend disbelief, and I don't want to, like, if I were teaching this as a university course, we would dive into all of that, right? Now, what I want is, what can we use from this?
So I'm trying to keep an open mind.
Thank you. That's what I suggest.
This ain't science.
Yeah, and no worries. And just like I said, rather than getting into that discussion at this place, doesn't matter to me. You could, I don't like the title science. I don't think it's science. I don't think it's true. I've read Outliers. I think it's different. You know, all kinds of things, right, that we could say. And instead, you know, what's the story that is in this for our collectively, for all of us, that will serve? And for me, what that thing is that will serve is, what can I take from this that's useful for me?
That's what I'm trying to do.
Fantastic.
I'm trying to stay open.
Yeah. Fantastic. Thank you. And then also, there will be different pieces in the year. Some will serve you better than others. And, you know, take what works and leave the rest. And also, if you have that burning question about it, if there's just like profound doubt or whatever it is, and you need and want to dive into that, post a question about it, and then we'll go there. All right. So thank you, Steve. Love it. Jasmine, quickly.
I really just heard what you said about efficient versus effective. And when I talk about my program, I talk about building efficient habits, because one of the main goals of my clients is to save time and energy. But really thinking about more aligned with like the purpose of my program and having life and being more deliberate is this, you know, new idea, new sudden realization of how I should be calling it effective habits, because efficiency is inherent in it, but there's also meaningfulness. And that's much more aligned with the deliberateness that I want my clients to be experiencing. And so that was just a huge shift in terms of like, it's a small tweak in naming it, but it's a huge shift in terms of the alignment and the appropriateness of how I describe the work that we do.
Thank you for hearing it. Yes, efficient versus effective. That's not in my notes either, but it's directly related to that. This next training piece I'm going to give you for our call today. And the thing is, it's at the heart of story. It's why story is so important. Stories teach us everything. It's like Harry Potter doesn't have to think about what... he doesn't have to think about some of these things, because right in the nature of a story that grabs us, he's like, man, Voldemort killed my parents, and now he's trying to wreck the world. I gotta go stop that. Right at the heart of stories that grab us, there is an object of desire. There's a thing that is just like, I am going there. It's one of the reasons that stories grab us so very much. And at the level of story, if you think of this, it's called the story of getting rich, if that feels better to you, that I focus on that one thing And our stories do that automatically, or our heroes do that automatically, the stories we tell about our heroes. And when we don't do that, we tend to suffer. So to know that, and again, therefore, having a big why, it's really one way to think about it is it's understanding in a deep way what that desire is through that threads through story. We'll come at it in Story Foundations in June, more directly right on story. But I just want to give you that little thread to tell you, you know, where this is in story, all right? So anything burning to be said without which we cannot go forward? All right. I'd like to hear one thing from one person that you've gleaned from this part. It could be about efficient versus effective. It could be about having that vision. It could be about how you even read something like this and make sure that it serves you. Remember, it's like training. That's not unrelated to when I say train to have ahas. Oh, here's an aha. Here's an aha. Here's a book if you're Steve that I don't even really like, but I've got 10 ahas from it. Like it's one of the things we want to train, right? So what's your aha from this piece? Any one of the things that have just been said in this Science of Getting Rich segment, and there are many insights here, could change your company. What's the one thing that you grabbed that you heard? Jasmine's was efficient versus effective. What did you hear for you? I want to know what you're listening to and what's popping out. Mm-hmm. Grace, thank you.
Abundance and high earnings potential is a good thing for everybody.
Thank you.
And I say that because yesterday with my small partnering group, we worked on values together. And probably for the first time in my life as a value, I was able to very easily check off high earnings potential with no negative feeling associated with it.
Life changing. And then what we want to do is take that from high earning potential to high earnings with love and you know, deep open arms, right? So always the next layer, the next layer, the next layer of that. And I love that first time. You said, Grace, first time ever. Without that, how do we build a company? One of the profound reasons that I went first chapter of this book, I wanted everybody to read, not to mention the rest of it, all right? So thank you so much. Beautiful. All right. Was that a hand, Wendy? I was looking this way for a minute to my notes. No? Oh, it was Steve. Okay, Steve. Just a sentence or two.
Yeah. So I think the aha I've gotten from this piece of here is that I need to look beyond the words that he's saying here. Like the questions he's asking in chapter two, he says, prove that getting rich is not a matter of environment. As a, you know, I guess amateur mathematician, a proof is a very specific thing. Mm-hmm. Now, if instead I say, show that getting rich is not a matter of environment, changing the word makes that sentence tolerable to me.
This is huge.
The word prove, no, that's not something I'm going to be able to do. Can I show it? Absolutely. Is there an example of it? Of course. So I have to, you know, I'm going to have to reread this. And Jasmine and I talked last week in a consolidation call and talked a little bit about that, you know, going to have to read this more than once in order to get past my built-in bias against the guy who's clearly not a scientist.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Writing a
Fantastic.
Book about science.
Yes. So. Fantastic. Fantastic. This is life-changing for your company and for everyone who just heard this, because remember I say not does this apply, but how does this apply to me? Much more empowering question. Yeah. Well, this doesn't apply because it's science and I don't believe it, and therefore, now how does this apply to me? And also to choose the words that are right for you. And that switch from prove to show all of a sudden gives you access to some profound things that he's saying here that can change your company. And in that notice about the move from prove to show, think about, there's so much there. We don't have time to go into all of this, but this is one of the reasons that I do that whole series, Practical Applications, get results with your words. Words matter. A single word, like we saw on Tuesday, matters. What's my word for the year? And it changes my company, changes my life. And that shift from prove to show, the very same thing is happening when somebody comes to talk to us about our work and considering engaging in our work. I just want you to consider that for a moment, how much words matter. Because Steve might be saying prove all the way along to a person who has buttons about prove. For whatever reason, good reason, bad reason, scientific reason, doesn't matter. And when we can tune our ear to listen to that person's words and how they speak, and we might think it's the same thing. Some of you are going, prove, show, who cares? For some of you, it's the same thing. It doesn't matter. For Steve, it's everything. That's crucial. How can we attune our ears to the language of the people that we're talking to? And then Steve could go from, well, you know, I don't know, that looks good, but it's not really for me. Because all along, it's just that one word prove that he's using to that person. And as he tunes his ear, what that person needs is that word show. And all of a sudden, it's like, oh, and you've got exactly the answer that I need. Thank you. That was a takeaway for this whole series. And it's not even written anywhere in my notes. Thank you for that. Just because of the attentiveness to words. Right? That was really, really, really profound if you had a chance to hear it. And also that in giving you access to this and other teachings, right? Yeah, really good. Okay. Oh, and fantastic. Yes. Great to hear, Lindsay. I don't always see the chat over there, but great. That's great about your son. Good. Hope that's good news. Yeah. Well, it must be. It is obviously good news, I think. Yeah. Tell us, keep us posted, right? Okay. So I want to share with you, I want to make, this is not a switch. This is, I don't want to put this. Where it connects with this is, so how am I going to find that thing? Like Grace talked about, well, her husband's family, and they just had this vision that guided them, and it's not a vision board, but it's that thing that they then manifested and made real. But he's going like, we don't push it. We don't just do it ourselves. It comes to us as we are, engaged in this process, a different way of thinking about our world, right? Well, then what do we even know what our thing is? What do we even know what to look at? And just like in Quantum Leaps, I said, well, what's your three-year vision? Well, how do we even know what that thing is, right? And today's call, the title of it, and the nugget that I want to give you today that is reflected in the title is called Finding My Own Path, What Sheep Can Teach Me About Getting Where I Want to Go. Finding my own path, what sheep can teach me about getting where I want to go. And I just want to share a couple of quotations with you. Because like, well, how do we find that vision? How do we find that vision like I asked you to do for the three-year vision at Quantum Leaps? We just did it. But there's more to it than that. We did it and then went on to a different teaching. Remember that from Quantum Leaps? But how do you really make that and make it your own and make it real? And, you know, what is that thing that, you know, for him, it's a, you know, a carpet and, you know, fireplace and whatever, you know, I mean, well, what is it for us? And so here's what Bob Proctor says. He says, 95% of the crowd do not know, and he's kind of says this, it's kind of in your face, but I think what he says is important for us to consider. 95% of the crowd do not know where they are going. They don't think, they just follow. 2% of people think, 3% of people think they are thinking, and 95% of people would rather die than think. That's really harsh. It's really in your face. I wouldn't say it like that. But what he's saying is, you know, there's people who are lost, and then they're lost, and then we follow them. That makes us more lost than they are. Maybe that may be what Steve's worried about this, right? It's like, no, take the pieces that work for you, right? Take the pieces that work for you. So this is what Bob Proctor says. There's a guy named Paul Martinelli. I don't know anything about him, but he's a personal development teacher and speaker. And he said something that I've thought about for years now. He said this, all of us are born unique, but most people die copies. All of us are born unique, but most people die copies. What do you think he's talking about, either Bob Proctor or Paul Martinelli? What do you hear in those kind of in-your-face words? What do you hear them saying? In your own words. I just want us to ponder this for a minute.
I think that like this has so much to do with the work that I want to share with the world. And I think, yes.
Oh, yes. Is it absolutely, Wendy? Yes. Slam dunk.
Yeah. And this whole idea of really trusting, like, so my little company is called, it's not a little company. It's
Thank you for that.
Great company.
Nice catch.
Teaching people to trust divinity. And it's this whole idea of realizing that you were born for greatness and wonderful, incredible things. And instead of listening to what the world tells you that you have to do or that you should do or just do this because that's what we've done forever and ever and ever, it's breaking out of that idea and remembering that I have specific gifts and talents to share with the world. And I just need to discover what those are and go after it.
Yeah, beautiful. I love that. Yes, so crucial for your company. And if you think about that campaign that came out a number of years ago now from Apple, now Steve Jobs, Think Different, how many of you have seen that? Have you seen that? It's worth looking at. Just go to YouTube and go Google it and watch that Think Different. It's an ad for, you know, Apple, but it's, you know, it all just ends with their logo, but it's so beautiful. You know, blessed are the crazy ones. Crazy, you know, like people call them crazy, but they're the, you know, Einstein and Gandhi, and like they think outside the box, you know? And so, and for your company, very much is aimed at breaking people out of that, Wendy, for sure. Yes, good notice. So what I want you to do just for a minute, everybody, is to, just a second, yeah. So think about, just for a moment, think about somebody, you know, who seems to be stuck in a life that's not even their own. If somebody come to mind, you know somebody like that, right? Yeah, thank you. You know, somebody else is creating the rules. You can see it's just stifling them. It's just, you know, who are they? You can even close your eyes, just envision them for a moment. Close your eyes, if you choose, and just see them. See what their life feels like. Bring them closer to you. See their life in full color. Feel what they're feeling. What's your body feel like? If you imagine being them, what's their daily life like? You can think of it in the, starting with the phrase, you know, she's doing it again or he's doing it again. Notice and then open your eyes and write down just five words. Five words that describe some of the things you know. Oh, they do that, and they do that, and they do that, and they do that. And they're always just stuck in that life that's not their own. They're doing the same thing as others. Write down those five things you can think of that just kind of clue you in, remind you of that thing that they do. Don't think. Just write down those five things. That's five words. Who needs more time? Raise your hand. Anyone? Okay, just another few seconds here to wrap it up. Okay, whatever you've got at least one on the page, maybe two. All right, good. I'm not going to do this today, but sometimes I've asked people to, I've done this exercise before with people to share about what you've, something of those characteristics of that, those people. You can do this in partners. I suggest you do this, like get on a connection call and share this with somebody from our community. You can do that this week. And then you can talk about the talk that you're going to give too. You become accountability partners for each other. When have I set the date for my talk? When am I having that strategy session conversation that will so serve me as we come into those trainings for that, all right? So, but I'm not going to ask you that today. But here's what I want you to do. I want you, you're going to do this just personally and then connect after on, you know, with others on the call if you choose to do that. I want you to look through that list now. I did the same thing too myself. I wrote it down. I thought of a real life person, two eyes, nose, and mouth. I want you to ask yourself the question with loving heart and gentleness and not letting it, the editor, get the best of you. Just noticing without judgment. where am I like that? Where am I like that? Take a look at your list again. Is there some part of me that wants to be right? Some part of me that wants to be accepted? Some part of me that's following what somebody else is doing? Just take a look with gentleness and love. Take a look. Is there anything on that page that I can look at this page while my hand goes up? Anything on that page that rings true? I have sometimes, or maybe I'm engaged in it now, or I've done it before. Something on that list that's true about me, when I take even a moment to think about it, raise your hand if there's even an inkling of that on the page. You've done something like that before. Okay, number of hands up. If you look at that news go and you go, no way, I would never do anything like that, raise your hand. This is not me on the page. Okay. Okay, so a couple of you. Raise your hand if you wouldn't raise your hand no matter what right now. Thank you. All right. I just want you to meditate on this and consider this, because sometimes what happens is the things we notice, they're in us. I remember it wasn't this exercise, but it was I went to see a talk by Deepak Chopra, and he was complaining about, he was telling a story about how he was complaining about, I can't remember now if it was somebody, a team member or a client, it was something like that, or a person in the audience. And he went to tell one of his close team members, like the person, they were like this, and like this, and like this, and like this, and like this. And there was this pregnant pause, and he went, I'm like that, aren't I? So just with loving kindness, notice, and maybe you don't do it exactly like them. And maybe sometimes it's like, and with love, I hope you don't mind if I say this, but sometimes, do you know how, there's a million examples, but this is the one that pops to mind. My editor says, don't say it, so I'm going to say it. You know, there's the preacher, and then the preacher's child becomes a preacher as well. You know, like we follow in that way, right? Sometimes there's the preacher, and then, oh man, my editor says don't say this, so please don't shoot the messenger. It's how it's coming up in me, and I'm trusting that you'll remember it and it'll land in you if I say these words, all right? So there's the preacher, and then there's the daughter who goes, no way, and she goes and, I don't know, becomes a stripper or something. Do you understand what I'm saying? And do you get that child number one and child number two are both still engaged with that same story? Whether they become a preacher or a stripper, maybe they are, maybe they're not, but there's a chance that something about that is they're still being affected by that. And they still haven't chosen that path that's their own. If you understand what I'm saying, raise your hand. First, if you understand what I'm saying, in pushing it away, it's still there. And now if you look down at that page, does it feel like it resonates more in your life, right? Yeah, Steve, go ahead.
Funny story. My wife, raised by two musicians, ran as far away from it as she could, became a math teacher. Do you know what she's doing now? She's okay. music director at our church. She's been doing that for 20 years.
Of course
years.
She is. Of course.
So...
Yeah. So, and with love, just noticing, and sometimes we've chosen and sometimes we haven't. In fact, it's beyond the scope of what we're talking about right here, right now, but this is deeply a part of the work that I did for my PhD, because I wanted to understand how we actually have agency, which means in the jargon of the university, the ability to act on social discourses in order to affect social change. If that was all like I just said, blah, 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 what it means is that I can actually make my own choices and actually have an effect on the world that's not predetermined by everything that's around me. Make sense? So these stories that bind us are trickier than it seems. And sometimes I want to remind you of the title once again, Finding My Own Path, What Sheep Can Teach Me About Getting Where I Want to Go. This is in the Having a Big Why series. And it's like, where is it? Can we start to notice some places where we might be more determined by somebody else's story than we might not have noticed? It might even be our work. Like Wendy goes, that's my work. That's my work, right? And it still can come creeping in. And if my company is called Story Freedom, this morning I was on a call where I was getting somebody to help me with a story that I was stuck in, you know? Doesn't mean we're above this, that it's still our cutting edge work, right? So why sheep? Why sheep? Well, the story I want to tell you is my dad was really a sheep herder when he was a child. I'm going to tell you the story, and it's going to connect directly back with what you're creating for your company and how you have that standout company that's beyond competition, that has people, all the right people easily saying yes to you, all right? And it belongs right here in Having a Big Why series. So let me tell you this story briefly. So it was my dad. He was not an only child, but his brothers were 12 and 18 years older than he was. So by the time he was six, his next youngest brother was 18. So he grew up and his parents were busy working on the farm. Like they just, you know, working day and night to build the things that they built. They built a lot. And so there was my dad, you know, out in the middle of the prairie, him and his dog named Puppy and 2,000 sheep. And so he was with the sheep a lot. And my dad used to tell stories about sheep when I was a kid. In fact, if you want to know the best sheep imitation, you just ask my dad, what's a sheep sound like? What's a baby sheep sound like? He can still do it in his 80s. It's very cool. So he knows sheep. And my dad used to talk about the blackface sheep. And do you know, if anybody knows anything about sheep, do you know that it's interesting to notice the blackface sheep, according to my dad? Anybody know about black? Yeah, some of you are nodding, or some of you are going, why are you telling us about sheep, Michelle? Right? And one of our alumni, Cindy, who's a veterinarian, she was like nodding when I told her this story. She's like nodding vigorously, like, oh, yes, this is really true. And she knows animals, right? So the blackface sheep. My dad said, you know, you could take care of, you know, you could herd all these other sheep easily. They'd go where you want them to and they'd stay there. And he said, but the blackface sheep, you have to watch them closely. They were just smarter. You had to watch them closely. You know, if there's a hole in the fence, they would be the ones that would find it. They jump through it, and then the others couldn't figure it out. Now they didn't. All the other sheep didn't know where to go, but the blackface sheep somehow they would find and do what none of the others were doing. And I find it so interesting that we have this phrase. You know, like if we say, "I was the black sheep of my family." Oh, what do you mean? And has anybody ever been called that or heard that or felt like somebody? Yeah, because this resonates. So I was at least one or two. Jasmine's like a winner for that one, right? And Steve, too, right? Whatever phrase you call it, and then there's something bad, there's something wrong because I'm not doing it like those other people that are the way I'm supposed to do it. Well, great. Being like the black sheep, you know? I'm a black sheep of my family. Own it. Leadership. You know, as owning our companies, like to be the head of our companies entails leadership. Entails leadership. And so it's sometimes the opposite of what others have done, or maybe not even the opposite. It's just something different. It's often this other direction. Own it. And that's one of the things that Sandra Yancey was talking about to me just you know, was it days ago, a week ago? When I was asking her about priorities, let me give you one piece of her answer. It's a profound answer. It moved everybody around the table, and everybody around the table had already built a lot in their companies. This was a very powerful group gathered, and everybody was like, she said, well, priorities, in order to set priorities, in order to know the thing, that thing that you ought to be working on, she says, you know, you got to be willing to go for it. You got to be willing to take a stand for it. And you got to be willing to be wrong. And she told us about one initiative in her company. Let me see. Can I tell you this piece? No, I better not tell you what it was. And I'm like, but it was one initiative in her company that has been resoundingly successful. She said the whole team was against it. Nobody was for it. But she just stood for it. Like, that's the thing. And we're going there. And they had all the reasons that it doesn't, you know, work in the industry right now. And that's not going to happen because et cetera, et cetera. What's it like to walk in that direction for your company? So this week, can you notice if you wrote down that list and you went, oh, I do some of those things and that person seems stuck and I don't want to be stuck in those ways. What would be different? Not polar opposite to it, for instance. or not mimicking it, but you know, what's your direction? Let me give you a tangible example. So this comes more down to earth. A number of years ago, it seemed like everybody around me was doing a podcast. And that was what you're supposed to do. And if you don't do a podcast, well, your company's not going to grow. Some of you might've been, you know, in similar circles a few years ago, it seemed like all the rage. And even now, like a lot of people, I'm not saying they're bad or good, but I had to think profoundly about it because there were so many people around me doing it. I asked my mentor a lot of questions about it. And the fact that I didn't do a podcast exponentially grew my company. And a lot of my friends who do a lot of great stuff and people around me were doing podcasts. And this person with, you know, 100,000, you know, downloads and so on that didn't really move the needle for the company very much. Doesn't mean that it can't. It can. What is everybody doing that you think that you ought to do? What are things that people are doing that I think I ought to do in my company? Maybe it doesn't have to be so. One of those, let me give you another example. Alex Mendosian years ago said, you know, he was teaching this. He said, if somebody had told me this, like it stopped me building my 7-figure company for 3 years. And it's like, cry me a river, Alex, you're doing fine now. What's the problem? He says, no, you don't understand. That's 3 years of sweat and toil and discouragement and, you know, the wrong path. And he said, because I was taught, and this is what people told me, that you've got to build the funnel. You got to build the funnel. How many of you know those words? You got to build the funnel. You've heard about that and you're trying to do it maybe, right? And Alex Mendosian said, this stopped me for 3 years from having my 7-figure business. Because first you build the $97 thing, then you build the $197 thing, and then you build the, you know, $500 thing, and you take people through the funnel until finally they get spit out as a client. He said, that stopped my, you know, that stopped me for years until I understood you don't have to do that at all. And another one of my mentors, Lisa Sasevich too. And I when we get to the high ticket virtual retreat, I'm told, Abby, don't do it that way. Do it completely upside down, the other way around. And it's like, oh, in my books, now doesn't, I'm not claiming this is the only way to do it, but in my books, that's a hard way to build a company. Because that's starting from far away, and starting from the hardest piece and building from there. We don't have to do it the way other people are doing it. What's right for your company? And one last piece that I want to say about this. So how can you be like the black sheep, black face sheep this week? How can you be like that as you're envisioning your company? What do you actually want? What's your big why? Can you notice those little ways where you might be going in a direction that you think is right because somebody else is doing it? It could even be something you're learning here. Choose what works for you. Try it out. It's helped a lot of people, right? In the end, you know, well, Steve might throw this away. That's okay. There's going to be other pieces there for him. Dive into it. Try it out. Go and see. What's your way? I want to give you another example. This could have been, you know, what sheep can teach me about getting where I want to go. I almost added to the title, what sheep and Harry Potter can tell me about where I want to go. So can you hear, are you okay if I share one other story with you about Harry Potter? That's something I want you to think about. Thanks. And Jazz is like, double thumbs up. Yes, yes to Harry Potter. All right. So if you think about it, Harry Potter grows up in this world where his aunt and uncle tell him he's useless, right? He's useless. He's awful. He lives under the stairway, you know, in the cupboard. And the message that he's been given from everything around him, and we get messages like this all over the place, even from not like an aunt and uncle like Harry Potter's, but from the best meaning souls. Like when my mom said to me, when I said, Mom, I'm going to go years ago, Mom, I'm going to go away and do a PhD. And she said, oh, are you sure? It sounds like a lot of work. You know, just from a lot of love, wanting me not to be hurt. You know, what's possible goes like this, right? I mean, my answer even at that time is, you know, younger woman was like, yeah, that's what I'm doing, Mom. Like, yeah, right. So, but Harry Potter, his aunt and uncle tell him, you belong in the closet. These are the messages that he's getting. You're defective. What you do is wrong. Your parents were worthless and they died in a car accident. Right? Those are the messages he's getting. So here's the thing, though. He's not even of that world. And if we're entrepreneurs, we're like, go and watch Think Different. We're not of this world in a way. And that's a good thing. Do you understand what I'm saying? Not like the, I was talking to some entrepreneurs a while back, and they're all saying, you know, oh, and I don't believe in this. I still have lots of family members and loved ones who are not entrepreneurs. They're going like, I don't even know what to say to non-entrepreneurs anymore, because we're just like a strange breed. You know, we're just like mission driven and want to help people, right? So Harry Potter, like in some ways, like entrepreneurs, is not of that world. He's a wizard. So he has, and he actually has so much more capability. I would say that reply that that's like each one of you here, each one of us, there's something really capable inside of us. He's so much more capable than people around him are saying, right? But so he needs to learn who he really is. That's a teaching about big self. He needs to know who he really is. So he goes to Hogwarts. You know this. He finds out a whole new way of being in the world. The world around him changes when he steps. You know, he runs at platform 9.5. If you don't know Harry Potter, you know he literally goes into a whole different world and he takes on a mission. That's like us as an entrepreneur. The thing that I want you to notice is that he's not fighting against his aunt and uncle. He's neither the preacher's preacher whose parent was a preacher, nor the stripper whose parent was a preacher. Do you know, like those, I know, like Stark, and hopefully you met you. It's memorable anyway, right? He's neither of those. He's not fighting against his aunt and uncle. They're just like blips. They're just something that causes him to grow. And he takes the growth and he moves to a whole different arena. Because if we stay at the level of just being different, like that those opposites or something, or we see the, and it's why I think the science of getting rich is so important. If we just look at the world around us as it is, and even the every single one of us is like, how do we expand that vision to something different than our words are even able? Steve, when he changes the word from proof to a show, he now can enter into a whole different world that he couldn't enter before. It was blocked by a single word. Perhaps when he reads it, right, can enter into a whole different world. And so what are the worlds that we're confined by that we don't even know, by the nature of the words we're using, for one thing, and a whole bunch of other stuff as well? And the whole mission isn't to get out of the closet and go and cook breakfast better than anybody else in Harry Potter's family, for instance, because that's often what we do as entrepreneurs. Do you understand what I'm saying? Finding my own path, what sheep can teach me about getting where I want to go. It's like all the other sheep that are all following those other sheep, or maybe this one's going over here, but not finding the fence, like the black-faced sheep. What is the world that I am stepping into that is different from the world that preceded me, that I saw before? So that the options in front of me aren't, wow, I'm going to be different. I'm going to be the best cook in the family. I'm going to sneak away from my cupboard on Tuesday nights and go read books underneath. And that's all I could do for a while, you know, under the blanket, and they won't see me. I'm going to slip out to the playground when they don't see me so that I can hang out and think about stuff better. Where is your whole new world to step into? Where are the places like that 1 to 5 that you wrote on your page? You may be caught either doing that or doing the opposite. What's your vision? Like in that science of getting rich, like Grace's husband's family, this is the thing that I want. And like Grace articulated last week as well, this is the thing. This is the why that I'm doing. As we drill deeper and deeper and deeper into that, we get to a different layer of ourselves. And from that, so much easier to build a company, because Harry Potter is not built for cooking a better breakfast. He's built for saving the world from Voldemort. Do you understand what I'm saying? And it can come in the vision of our company for what we're even doing. It can come in the way that we think that we need to get there. I do a podcast or not. I got to do it because that's what other people in my industry are doing, and I haven't even thought of doing it differently. Like my friend Karen, she teaches, you know, professionals and was one of the first in the industry to do it online. You can't teach about horses online. Nobody does that. That's impossible. You need a horse. But that's what she wanted to do, so she went and did it. It's your breakthrough move. What is different that you, not different for the sake of being different, like the daughter who's a stripper, for instance, or maybe the son who's a stripper, I don't know. What do you want? What's pulling you forward? What's your object of desire? What's the thing inside you? Don't be a sidekick in somebody else's story, like Harry Potter would have been if he just stayed being his aunt and uncle's best cook. Okay. So we're coming to the end of this call. finding my own path, what sheep can teach me about getting where I want to go? Where do you want to go? How can you actually not embrace your, how can you embrace your black sheepness in your family, if that's what you're called? The ways that you're doing it differently from others, not for the sake of being different, because it's your own path, so that we don't die copies. That's your breakthrough move. One aha, one inspired action. Next week, we're going to come to another way to figure out how we head over to that thing and know that it's the direction to be headed in. Right, that's one component of what we'll be doing next time. Huge, huge piece of it. So I hope you can be here live. If not, you catch it in the recording. Grace, you're up in my left-hand corner. Let's start with you. One aha, one inspired action, one sentence each. Let's just have it land.
I love the concept of what's my breakout move. What's making different? What's my breakout move? And so my action is to spend 15 minutes just journaling without letting the pen raise up about what that might mean.
See what nice. Love that. Thank you. Teresa, you're up next.
Well, I've just been hearing that I am who I am. And that's fine. And my move is to just embrace it more.
Yeah. And so... And what's the thing, if it were a check-offable action, what's the thing that you can do?
Action.
Yeah, so that we know we're bringing it out into the world. What are you going to do to make sure that we know it's like, well, this is going to be a thought, but will I actually, like, how do you, to embrace it more, is it the next time you go out for dinner, you're going to notice how you're, how you're actually going to choose carrots when everybody around the table is choosing peas, well, or I don't know what, right?
My model's different. I'm just going to... Everything I do, I'm going to really put that in the forefront. My model for what I do is different.
Did you notice Teresa just like modeling what we were just talking about here? It's wonderful. Michelle, you're asking this question and I want to go over here. Love that. How could I say no to that answer? I love it. Thank you, Teresa. Yes. Carly, you're up.
I really connected with this because I don't look like the typical architect, according to a lot of people as well.
And right.
So... I really liked what you said with what are the worlds that we can step into that will change our options. So I'm going to be doing some journaling on that and thinking about what you also said with what am I built for, kind of around that framework.
Lovely, thank you. And that's both your aha and then your inspired action to dive into that. Yeah, you journal about it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, beautiful. Okay, Jasmine, you're up.
So many ahas, but I think I was just on a connection call where I literally was saying that I am so bold in the things that I try and do because this world was not created for me. And I am thinking a lot about your, you know, what worlds can we step into that are more suitable. And my action is to follow up on a Facebook post that I posted about where my critical entrepreneur is at and like actually create some kind of, it was a rant about a book, different book than this one, and actually create that space for myself to have critical entrepreneurs doing readings together and finding a new world to step into that's more aligned to what I need to keep going in this work.
And one of the things I love in what you've said is just, can you hear the strong confidence in the voice? It's like, it's permission to do that this way, because that's it's your birthright, right? It's your birthright. Beautiful. Thank you. Steve.
Again, it was how much the words matter. Just got so reinforced. I'm going to dive back into the book and see what I can glean from it. Trying to recast it in a way that I can read it as a scientist.
Yeah, fantastic. I love, love, love that. This could be some of the most important work that you could do, for having those conversations where people can enter into your work. Because if you can do it over here, you start to translate the language over there when you may not be speaking their language. So learn how to do it over here with this book. And this is fantastic. Yes, love it, love it, love it. Yeah, that's your both your aha and your action. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Dottie, you're up. One aha, one inspired action.
I really liked Steve's share, and you're speaking about it also, about when we, what distraction is getting off of our focus. Mm-hmm. And I really like that. And so my action is that I put, I still use a paper day timer. So I wrote focus on the top of my to-do list. And I think that that's, you know, that was really helpful for me. Thank you.
I love that. And Dottie, the clarity of your words here, your words themselves were focused. You were demonstrating what you were saying. It's another one of those moments of who are you and what have you done with the previous version of Dottie. This is clarity and focus in action here. I love it. And this call, we didn't come in. Well, we did sometimes, we were talking about focus, but clear landing on here's the thing I'm focusing on. Here's where I'm going. And this is mine. Fantastic. Yes. Thank you so much, everybody. Loved your contributions. Great, great insights. In my books, this was a really, I heard it landing in you. And that makes me so happy, because then we can use it. And that transforms our companies and therefore the world. Have a great, great week. We'll see you twice next week for practical applications and for our last call in the Having a Big Why series. So have a great week, and see you soon. Don't forget to remember to post some questions. All right. It's easy to find. Go look in your inbox, hit the button, press the question, and I'd love to serve you at that level. See you next time. Have a great week. Bye-bye for now.